Genesis 22, verse 8. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." You see, the Lamb of God, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, is most important in Scripture. Because redemption, that is the redeeming of sinners out of the slavery and the guilt of sin, redemption is the central theme in all of the Bible. From page to page, from cover to cover, the Bible reveals Him and teaches of Him. The theme is His death. That is the cross work of Christ. The turning away of God's wrath against sinners by means of an atoning sacrifice. The removal of guilt by means of atonement. Both the Old and New Testament are never far from Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. And this speaks of Him as the great sacrifice by which atonement is made for sin and man is reconciled to God. Abraham, well, he speaks in respect to the Messiah, the Lamb of God, whom God appointed, provided in counsel and covenant before the world was, and who in promise, type, and a figure, was slain from the foundation of the world, and whom in due time God would send into the world and make him, and him only, an offering for sin, and accept of him in the room and stead of his people. And this was a provision that could only be made by the Lord, and was the produce of his infinite wisdom and the fruit of his grace, favor, and goodwill, and of which Abraham had a clear sight and a strong persuasion. Though these words may be considered as a more direct answer to, well, Isaac's question, "Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" They may be seen or viewed undoubtedly as a prophecy of Abraham's and of his faith in it, that God would, as in fact He did, provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so, as a way of a title, a foreshadow of Calvary and the cross, a foreshadow of Calvary and the cross, we find here in Genesis 22 one of the clearest pictures of the cross, that Calvary is seen afar off, that the Lamb of God is prophesied and is a pointer to the cross. You see, the Holy Spirit, the third person of God's Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, by Abraham's mouth, seems to predict the Lamb of God, the one who has been provided and which taketh away the sin of the world. A people out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. And so firstly, whom is Abraham to sacrifice? Whom is Abraham to sacrifice? Well, there's no question as to whom Abraham is to sacrifice and offer as a burnt offering. It's very clear and plain from verse 2. From verse 2, we read the following. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Directly, immediately, not thine ox, nor thy sheep, nor thy ram, nor thy lamb, nor thy servant. Take now thy son. And so here is whom Abraham is to sacrifice. The one on whom his affections were strongly set. Being a lovely youth, a dutiful son, and the child of promise, on whom all his hope and expectation of a numerous offspring promised him was built. Whom thou lovest, whom thou lovest. And so, child of God, we see the extreme clarity of God's command, whom Abraham is to sacrifice, which instructs us as the people of God that when God tells us to do something that may seem very unusual, he will make it very clear as to what it is. As to what it is. You see, God never directs us to take unusual action without giving us much assurance as to what the action is. And so this truth not only encourages us, but it also warns us that we shouldn't take any drastic decision, but we must be certain that we have a clear and strong command from God in doing so. And so as we look closer into Genesis 22:2, we see clearly three small descriptions which help us better to see the nature of the sacrifice Abraham had to make and shows us how wonderfully Isaac foreshadows the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is the only son. The only son. Genesis 22:2. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. We find this phrase, thine only son, we find that it is repeated in verse 12. Look with me at verse 12 and the bottom of that verse, part B. Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, verse 12, thine only son from me. The end of verse 12, thine only son from me. Again, we see the phrase repeated in verse 16. And the end of that verse, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. You see, when Isaac is sacrificed, there will be no son left. And so Abraham is being asked to give his all. And child of God, we may give much. We may give much. But if we have much left, the sacrifice is not nearly as great as it is when we have nothing left. It is what is left that determines the real size and cost of our sacrificing. Remember the widow's mites in Luke's gospel. Though she only gave 2 mites, she gave all that she had. She gave all that she had. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 4, you don't have to turn to it for time's sake, but it says this, "For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had." You see, others gave much. Others gave more in terms of money, but not in terms of sacrifice. And so as Isaac was Abraham's only son, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was God's only son. And so both Isaac and Christ are in fact particularly called the only begotten son. We see this clearly in Hebrews 11:17, By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, tested, tempted, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. And that most famous verse in all of the Bible, as Martin Luther called it, the Bible in miniature, the gospel contained in one verse, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, rests, depends, trusts in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so, child of God, what a price. What a great price God paid for our salvation. For ye are bought with a price, not with such things as silver and gold. For ye are redeemed with a price, not with such things as silver and gold, but with the precious. The Holy Ghost calls the blood of Christ precious. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And so we must ask the question. I must ask myself the question. Do we reciprocate? And when I say we, I include myself. Do we reciprocate in our sacrificing to serve him? Or do we keep back part of the price? God didn't purchase part of us. He purchased every part of us. Every part of us. There is the love son. The love son. You see, Isaac is described by God as the son whom thou lovest. Whom thou lovest. And so Abraham is asked to give up Isaac, the son he loved most. Abraham is asked to do more than merely send him away. He's being asked to slay him. And so truly, what a great test. What a great test this is. A great test of the heart's affection. This test is for Abraham. And therefore, the heart must be examined to determine the character of our sacrifice. God says to his own blood-bought children, "My son, give me thine heart. My son, give me thine heart. In Proverbs 23, 26, my son, give me thine heart. And so this is God's plea. God's plea to men. That is the main thing God desires from us. It's the main thing that God desires from us, because if he has our heart, he is everything about us. He is everything about us. And so we may sacrifice much. But if the heart's not in it, well, the sacrifice loses much of its value. And so Abraham, this man of God, demonstrated in his willingness to sacrifice Isaac that God was his first love. You see, love, real love, love is unselfish. It gives. And so it's not hard to see the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as Isaac was greatly loved by his father, so Jesus Christ was loved by his father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And so God spared not his best. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? My friend, all blessings and benefits flow from Calvary and from the cross to us as the people of God. You see, they not only loved their sons, but they willingly sacrificed their beloved sons. And so we see the third simple description, the law-abiding son. The law-abiding son. You see, Isaac submitted completely to his father's will. He submitted completely to his father's will in everything. This submission, his submission, is seen clearly in verse 3. In his going with his father, we see his submission in carrying the wood for Abraham in verse 6. And especially in that he utters no words of complaint or protest. And Abraham bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. He opened not his mouth. No backbiting. No murmuring. And so we see clearly the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of God's Trinity, the Lamb of God, the one who was oppressed, the one who was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The one who always did always those things which pleased his Father. Christ said, my meat, my food, that which consumes me, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And so the cross was no afterthought. It was no afterthought, for the greatest evidence of Christ's submission had to do with his being sacrificed. As was stated in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so the Christ-like the Christ-like submission which Isaac so wonderfully demonstrated is that which ought to characterize the saints of God. But isn't it often the case? Instead of submission, we argue, complain. Instead of unity, there's often disunity. Instead of Christ-likeness, there's often carnality. And at times we wonder to ourselves why we don't experience the blessings of old, the blessings of the saints of old, who submitted completely to God's will. And so, child of God, if we want God's blessing, we must submit to the Word of God, the Word of our Heavenly Father, as Isaac submitted to his father. And therefore, the Word of God must be our supreme authority at all times. As our shorter catechism teaches, and I'm sure many in this congregation had the privilege of being nurtured in that shorter catechism. What do the Scriptures principally teach? The Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. There is, secondly, well, where? Where is Abraham to sacrifice? Well, we see this in verse 2, in the middle part of verse 2. And get thee into the land of Moriah. And get thee into the land of Moriah. And offer him there upon one of the mountains which... And offer there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. You see, this place where Abraham was to sacrifice Isaac was in the area which would be later known as Jerusalem. It was a 3 days' journey, according to verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And so the significant feature of the location for the sacrificing of Isaac is its obvious relationship with Calvary and with Christ. For this is the place where the Lamb of God was crucified. And we have no difficulty believing that the crucifixion of Christ occurred not only in the general area, but also right at the very place where Abraham offered Isaac as Christ would be the substitute, and saw the place afar off. And thirdly, what is Abraham to sacrifice? What is Abraham to sacrifice? Verses 7 and 8. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. You see, young Isaac, the young lad's puzzled that Abraham was planning to offer a burnt offering but had no lamb. Both the asking by Isaac and the answering by Abraham about the missing lamb certainly instructs us in important truths. Because Isaac's question, where is the lamb? Where is the lamb? Shows to us that he was in no doubt instructed regarding sacrifices. Abraham had obviously seen to it that Isaac knew vital truths regarding worship. Regarding worship. Isaac knew what was missing. Where is the lamb? And the truth is, and the sad truth is, many of our churches wouldn't even know if the lamb was missing. Because men are so spiritually dull that they cannot tell a sermon that honors Christ and a sermon that leaves out Christ entirely. And so, there are many who seek to embrace a salvation without Jesus Christ. Many a sermon preached and no mention of our blessed Lord. And we cry out like Mary of old, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And therefore we must give the young lad credit. Because he knew what was missing. And Abraham obviously seen to it that he was instructed in vital truths regarding worship. And therefore, child of God, keep teaching the children. Keep bringing the Lamb of God before them. Sunday school teacher. Yes, it's the holiday period. And there's that time you can prepare for another season. Keep bringing the Lamb before them. Christian worker, keep preaching Christ. Whatever your status be, keep preaching Christ. Whether it be handing out a gospel tract, whether it's speaking a word in season in the workplace, or at the home. And therefore we must give young Isaac credit, for he knew what was missing. He knew the lamb was essential for a sacrifice for sins. He knew that you couldn't worship without the lamb. And so Abraham's answer to young Isaac conveyed more than he himself probably was aware of at that moment. God will provide himself a lamb. Not only is it prophesied that God would provide a lamb to take Isaac's place, but it also stated that God provided Jesus Christ to be a sacrifice for men and to be a savior from sin. You see, man didn't provide himself a sacrifice. Man didn't provide himself a way of salvation. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And therefore, God is providing himself a lamb in which Christ, who was made an offering for sin and a sacrifice to God of a sweet-smelling savour, and its being a burnt offering denotes the sufferings of Jesus Christ, because it was never God's intention. It was never God's intention that Isaac should actually be sacrificed. Yet nobler blood than that of animals in due time was to be shed for sin. Even the blood of the only begotten Son of God. The blood of the everlasting covenant, which simply means the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ. Christ was sacrificed in our stead, the Lamb of God. prophesy. Dear one outside of Jesus Christ, do you realize it was necessary for Christ to suffer? Because God's holiness requires the punishment for sin, either upon the sinner in hell or on Christ in the sinner's place. And therefore, leave the deadness of sin and embrace Him as He's freely offered to you in the gospel. Child of God, and I most certainly do not exclude myself, we ought to stand in awe at being the recipients, the beneficiaries of something that cost the very life of the Son of God. And so, we come back to where we began. And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Foreshadow of Calvary and the cross. Let us bow together reverently, quietly.